Much worse.
Blog Talk Radio.
Break.
There you go.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 206. And tonight, a nice Wednesday evening, a nice, very nice Wednesday evening, I might add, in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Stephen Zimmer, and joining me tonight from Indianapolis, Michael West, and from parts unknown in Tennessee, the one, the only, Daniel Dark. And the gathering is here. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey.
How's everything going today?
Doing good, man.
Doing good. Give us a slight rundown on the ins and outs of how to be a professional publisher and stuff.
Oh, God. It never ends. It's a 20, just about, well, we literally, like we said on the show, we get messages at 3 in the morning at, you know, 7 in the morning. It, you know, I mean, it literally is a round-the-clock sort of thing. And, I mean, you know, whether it's you know, doing blog tours, which, by the way, we just opened one up for Michael Williams for his entire City Quartet, which is a really cool collection of 4 interrelated novels that can be read standalone or in any order. Great literary work. And it's mythic fiction, magical realism. We just opened that up for blog tour signups. And the next breath, we had a brand new release today with Penny Pearson with Ritual of Blood, paranormal fantasy supernatural thriller. And then last Friday, we had the release of Carol Preflatish's Homecoming to Murder on our 7 Star Shadow imprint. So there you go. With less than a week, you know, 2 new releases, new blog tour unleashed. We had a whole new, like I said, you know, on the administrative side, getting a whole new system implemented on reporting. Hopefully, it'll be more efficient and streamlined and very, very good for being where we're at, being much larger than we were 5 years ago. And then on top of all that, we're getting ready to start working with the folks at Jumpmaster Press and getting jump card IDs, so that's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait to hold the first ones, because that's one cool product. So that's, you know, that's just the you know, the major stuff. That's not even getting into all the you know, smaller tasks and promo items and promos and all the usual, you know, maintenance kind of stuff. So yeah, it's definitely the life, and that's for sure. But hanging in there, and tonight we're actually be talking about one of the big areas that we're involved heavily now in, and that's audiobooks, and, you know, with ACX releases, and Michael West, in fact, just got a great new review, I believe, of the Wide Game, and I'll let him talk about that in a second. Shout out Tommy B. Smith in the chat room, which, by the way, is working fine tonight, so join us in there. And Michael, congratulations, yet another good audiobook review. Well, we'll kind of take it there for a moment, because that's going to be a big theme of tonight's show.
He's already asleep.
Oh, no. He just disconnected. So I think we'll wait for him to get back on there. But, well, I will say tonight, I'll do a quick announcement. It's Imaginarium 2020 tonight. Time to time, we do an outreach for individual sponsorships. They're smaller sponsorships. They're just like $50, and they do help us. We're grassroots developed convention, 7th year, and those help us a lot with raising awareness, meeting the needs of the convention, and like I said, you know, and a lot of events are getting a little worried right now in the month of March, but you know, we are in July, and I think. Given how cycles go, you know, with things. We should be fine by July for a very good event. So definitely look on the Imaginarium site for information on that. It's on, it's the latest post on the entertheimaginarium.com homepage. And, yeah, if you could help us out with that, that would be awesome. And I think we have Michael back. Michael, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, that was
okay.
That was interesting.
So I was speaking to I don't know what you caught, but I was praising your new review of the Wide Game. They got yet another good audiobook review, and I thought that would be fun to mention because of the theme of tonight's show. It's going to take a heavy turn that direction, but I figured you would want to share that, and because you've gotten quite a few recently on the audiobook front.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way people are discovering my stuff in audiobook. That you've got people who I've heard from people who have read all my stuff in either ebook or print form, and are picking up the audiobooks just to hear the narration and the basically the radio plays that they are. And then I've heard from people who have never, heard of my stuff or read my stuff that have just discovered it through the audio side of it. So it's a really cool mix of responses and a mix of readers that are chiming in on the various books.
That's cool. And then Daniel's going to be getting in on the action. Oh, go ahead, Michael. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh no, I was just gonna say I've been lucky enough to have two really good narrators tackling the various quote unquote franchises series.
Right.
I've got Nyla B. Haggard doing the Harmony books, the Wide Game, Cinema of Shadows, and Spook House, and then I've got an amazing gifted voice artist who can tackle the hundreds of characters in the Legacy of the Gods series, S.W. Saltzman. And both of them have just done amazing work on these books, and I'm glad that people are enjoying them. But yeah, I've been getting all kinds of 4- and 5-star reviews on the various audiobook versions.
Yeah, and the Dark One will be getting into his stuff because he's the plan, I believe, is he's going to be narrating his own. And, of course, if you've ever heard Daniel read, he's perfect for his actually narrating his own. And that's going to be fun when we start hearing that. And then I'm going to we just opened up for auditions on Heart of a Lion. So finally that trilogy is finally making its way toward the audiobook format, so we'll have to see how all that shakes out and what kind of voices we get and see what happens. But pretty much, hopefully, like I said, by summer-ish or so, hopefully I've got one audiobook out, but hopefully all three of us are chugging by then on the audiobook front. But you've definitely got made some good progress there, Michael. Absolutely fantastic so far, and congrats and lots of good response on your audiobooks.
Yeah, I've been really pleased. So and if you haven't listened to audiobooks in a while, I know I hadn't listened to audiobooks in probably it's probably been a good 10 years. I think the last audiobook I listened to was, it's been longer ago than that, but it was an audiobook of Peter Benchley's White Shark. I listened to it on a trip because I don't know about anybody else out there, but I can't read in the car. I get really nauseous.
You can't read while you're driving.
I can read street signs, but.
Just hold the book up there on the steering wheel. Your hands free.
Yeah.
You've got it right there in front of you and everything, so you can still read it. And
oh, man.
Let's put the little easel onto the steering wheel. And.
Oh, man, too funny. That's
you know,
awesome.
Couple
That's
of
awesome.
Clips for the, you know, the pages and everything so that you can hold them back, you know.
Yeah. But the performance that you get from these audiobook narrators now is just incredible.
Yeah. No, it's mind-blowing. I mean, the talent level that we've been able to get on not just the books, audiobooks we're talking about, but on all of them that we've been doing, Bob Freeman, Dan Jolly's, several other titles, R.J. Sullivan with Daniel Muthing, who has been on the Star Chamber show, if you all remember, and just incredible. So I mean, it's pretty amazing, and yeah, it is a weird experience the first time hearing your stuff done by a pro narrator on an actual audiobook release. It is a cool feeling. I definitely love it. So.
Yeah, and for all those people who have been commenting, you know, when's the third book in the legacy going to be available in audiobooks? It's in production now, and hopefully it'll be out shortly. About the time it comes out, hopefully we'll have the fourth and final book of the series ready to go, and then that'll get translated as well. So lots coming on the legacy front this year.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good year for you. And like I said, I think Daniel is getting on track with his new release, Victims Tell. And I just need to finish up this monstrous new installment in my epic fantasy series. And then you'll have a big book to enjoy, Michael, and use as a doorstop. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's one of the big ones, folks. I'm warning you. It's one of my classic big books. But I'm really been busting my tail on it and working hard to make sure this is the best work I've ever done in the epic fantasy genre. I feel I've really got something special coming with this one, so I'm really happy where it's at. But like Michael, I see the home stretch, but it you know just getting there. So. But let's see, they're going to be calling in a couple of minutes here, our guests, so probably should recognize our awesome sponsors for tonight. And tonight we have two. We have Mary Ann Pohl, and the other sponsor for tonight is the fine folks at Per Bostet Publications. So I will give you a little bit about Mary Ann Pohl, and I'll give her a little listen here, and let's go with this. An invisible battle is being fought around us. If we listen closely, we can hear swords clashing in the war for human souls. The Iconoclast thriller series is not your typical horror. So, if you're looking for blood and guts, just for the sake of blood and guts, you won't enjoy these books. But, if you're looking for frightful stories in which ordinary individuals must face extraordinary circumstances and the supernatural, look no further. So definitely check out Mary Ann Pohl, and a wonderful sponsor of this on Amazon. You can find her at www.author.maryannpohl.com, and that's MaryAnnPohl.com. And our second sponsor of the evening is Per Bostet Publications. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Check out Joanna Foreman's award-winning romantic thriller, Riverwalk Chameleon, or try Ghost Tour Guides, Jacob and Jenny Floyd's Louisville's Strange and Unusual Haunts, and Indiana's Strange and Unusual Haunts. Travel back to ancient Egypt with T. Lee Harris's The Eloquent Scribe and see just how much trouble a temple cat can drag an innocent young scribe into, or head for the future in Marion Allen's science fiction short story collection, Other Earth, Other Stars. You can find these titles and more at perbostetpublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you to T. Lee, Marion, Sarah, Marion. We appreciate all of you very, very much. And, yeah, so Marianne, Paul, thank you as well. So, yes, guys, yeah, we're just waiting for our guests to give us a call in at the moment, but we're looking good. And, yeah, Tommy B. Smith, the passing along. Daniel, he's in the midst of reading Victims Tell, which we were speaking about just a moment ago.
He's in
so,
the
yeah,
midst
Tommy
of it,
is
huh?
reading your book. Yep, midst, as he says. So he is reading it. He chimed in the chat room with that update. So, yes, the reading is happening. And I think, okay, we've got one caller here. So give me just a moment just to check and make sure we've got our guests. Michael and Daniel, so I'll have to bow out for just a second, but I'll be right back with you guys.
Do your bowing.
How have you been weather-wise down there? Were you involved in the any of those storms that passed through with Tennessee and?
I was involved in one, but not the ones that hit Nashville.
Okay.
Nashville got devastated down there. A lot of friends stuff down there have lost businesses and different things like that. Had the whole place is just torn apart. We're working on trying to get some stuff done on that, and I'm trying to get my a new business started and everything, running into roadblocks every time I turn around on that myself. So yeah, my mom was in the hospital this week and she's getting better, but you know, just having to take care of everything.
Yeah, and the hospital's not exactly a lovely place to be right now. Well, not that it's ever a lovely place to be, but
no.
My wife being a nurse, they're having to deal with a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah,
as you can imagine.
Well, it was fun. My mom, you know, like she's a little bit older, and the bed in the room that they're putting her in from the, you know, emergency room, the bed in there was broken. She's like,
oh no.
Well, you know, and they were having to order another bed or get another bed for that room. She goes, well, just get me another room. We're like, it's a hospital. It's not a motel. You can't just get another room. It's a little bit more difficult than that, Mom.
Yeah.
You're needing this care here. We can't put you in, you know, in the maternity ward or something.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true. Oh, man.
But,
well, we do have both of our guests on deck. And, so we are a full-blown go here. But very, very excited about tonight's guest. We're actually bringing you a double dose, and we don't do that often on the Star Chamber show, but a double dose of great guests. One is an author that Michael and I have known for a long time, who is very dear to us at Seven Star Press, and definitely has a number of titles, including a most wonderful release called Road Ghosts, Omnibus Edition. That brings me to our other guest tonight, who is a fantastic audiobook narrator. So this project brought the both of them together, so we thought it would be fun to have them on the show. And so tonight I am very, very pleased to bring to you both E. Chris Garrison and Sean Dureger. Welcome to the Star Chamber Show. You're both live.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going tonight?
Hello.
You can call me Chrissy on the air if you want.
Fantastic.
Good to hear your voice.
Hi, Chrissy. Good to hear you.
As it is, it's good to hear Chrissy's voice because I've been talking at her for, you know, 19 hours with an audiobook. You could actually hear the author.
Well, here I am.
So this is the first time that you have both talked by voice. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's kind of the normal deal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess for the benefit of the audience, because of course, I'm very, very aware both of you and Michael, of course, and I go back with Chrissy and Daniel, of course, and knows Chrissy. Go ahead and Chrissy first, and then Sean second. Go ahead and give the audience just a little bit of background on both of you with your works before we dive into the Road Ghost adventure.
Who goes first?
Oh, Chrissy. Chrissy,
go
ahead.
I'm Chris Garrison. I'm an independent author. I've got books mostly with Southern Star Press, but I have a few under my own imprint called Silly Hat Books, which is my website, sillyhatbooks.com. I write science fiction, urban fantasy, steampunk, and a variety of other speculative fiction. The Road Ghost is urban fantasy. The catchphrase I use is the Scooby-Doo meets supernatural. That was actually from a review. I decided to steal it once one of my reviewers called it that. I don't know how much you want me to babble, but I've written that series, the sort of spin-off series, The Tipsy Fairy Tales, is two books have been published. The third one is getting ready to be edited and put out sometime by Seventh Star Press. So we'll have two trilogies. And then I have my own transcontinental steampunk books, and I have the Reality Check, which is a science fiction thriller, sort of. And I have a short story collection. And I've got a podcast, and I've got a serial.
That's true, yes. The new podcast, I might add, or at least relatively recently, correct? And yeah, feel free to tell us the title of the podcast and what you're having on that show, Chrissy.
My podcast is called Alien Beer, and that's named after the first story in a collection of the same name. It's a flash story. It's just something kind of weird I wrote one time, but I liked the theme so much I wanted it to be something you could remember. So the podcast was originally going to be just about my short fiction, my very short fiction, like flash fiction and whatnot. But I also decided to start writing a serial, science fiction serial called The Multiverse Blues that's going around every other week, at least as long as I can keep up. The short stories are the other alternates. And I've also slipped in a few samples of audiobooks like Sean's work for Road Ghosts and Stephanie S. Reading of Blue Spirit, just the first chapter, and the first chapter of my transcontinental Girl in the Gears by Angel Clark. So that's a fledgling podcast. I have like eight episodes so far. Well, not even episodes. Three of them are those sample chapters. But I don't. What do you call an individual episode part? Is this an episode we're on right now?
Yes. Yes. So yeah, we can okay. call them episodes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thrilling. Yeah,
I'm a podcast noob. Okay. Anyway,
Sean. Go ahead. Sorry, Chrissy.
I was going to say that's about all I have right now.
But Sean, now to you, because you, oh man, I hear about you all the time from Holly, and she just loves you.
Oh.
She just thinks. But you are, I mean, you are a go-getter. I'm just going to say that before you start here. You, I mean, like I said, you really, I mean, just stand behind your work more than I think any pretty much almost any narrator I've seen out there. It's just amazing. But yeah, tell everybody about what your work is, and like I said, the scope of your projects, because you got a number of ones that I've seen that look very intriguing.
Awesome. Well, I'm a loudmouth, so I'm like, if I'm always letting people know what I'm doing online, so it's just kind of my nature. I've always kind of been that way. But get me into a group like a in a real life party, then I'm in the corner by myself. But online and everything, I've definitely like promoting things that I like doing, and I'm a huge horror movie buff. I've always loved reading. And so when the opportunity presented itself to narrate books, I hadn't really thought about it before. I did it. I started about a year ago, a little over a year ago now. And I just I fell in love with it. You know, it's like a drug to me. So that's why I'm always pretty passionate about it. And I love, like, kind of letting people know the journey of it, because, you know, none of us start perfect, you know, it's all a journey. So, I'm just having fun doing it, man. And, you know, Road Ghosts was such a great project, to take on. And, at first I didn't realize it was three books in one. And once I realized it was going to be a 19 hour, ordeal, you know, when it was finished, I was like, oh God, what did I sign myself up for? But, but once I prepped it, and, you know, as narrators, we're always kind of juggling projects, you know, and me being a relative newbie to it, we were always told, like, you know, oh, you know, you don't want to start off with a book that big. And me, the kind of my personality is, well, I'll give it a shot. If I fail at it, it'll be a learning experience. If I do reasonably well at it, that's, you know, icing on the cake. So, but once I started prepping the book, I absolutely just fell in love with all these characters. They all, like, just, you know, I can visually see each character in my head, the way that, you know, Chrissy describes the characters, and not through just like description by word, but like through the dialogue. It was just so easy for me to just get in these characters' minds. So once I started reading it, I was like, okay, I'm in good hands as far as the author goes, and let's just do this. This is going to be a long haul, but I fell in love with it. And that's what I try to do with most of my projects, is I try to find something that I'm going to love doing, because I do this, I'm doing this part time. I have a day job, I got a family, and I feel like I'm just hanging on for dear life, you know, with all of this, but yeah, I love it, man. I love doing what I'm doing.
Very cool. And one thing I love about Chrissy's prose is exactly that, the way the dialogue, the way Chrissy weaves thriller elements and humor so well, mm-hmm. walks a fine line to make the tension and suspense work, and then, you know, you have good laughs and levity and things like that, and the kind of characters that you just embrace. And so I wanted to bring Chrissy in the conversation here, and because you do just such a nice range of vocal performances in this audiobook.
Thank you.
Tell us, Chrissy and Sean, tell us about the kind of dialogue that you two had together in, giving the background of characters, or how, you know, you wanted certain characters performed and that kind of thing, just for the audience.
I sent you some homework. Was that?
Yeah, Sean did send me homework. It was almost it was kind of invading. I didn't. I was worried that I was going to hold the production up trying to answer all of the questions. In the end, I did a kind of, he asked just pretty much the life story of each character. And it was really great that I did not expect that. None of the other voice talents I've worked with had that kind of, even asked me what do these characters sound like. I sat down and I ended up writing something quick to try and, you know, give him something beforehand. He said that was fine. And I also mm-hmm. was, you know, one of the reasons that we picked Sean in the first place when we were going through auditions was that Sean just knocked it out of the park. The without even ever reading more than just the first chapter, he captured the four character, or three characters that appear in that chapter just perfectly. I couldn't, you know, and the voice characterizations were very distinct, which is something I like in a narrator in particular, because all my books aren't written as scripts, so they have to the narrator has to get some characterization when the dialogue tag happens at the end of the sentence, so you have, you know, the reader knows who's talking, and John does that better than, you know, he just, you know, I can't say enough good about Sean. I've been very, very happy with this project, and I'm glad he stuck it through 19 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't need a lot to kind of get, because I've been making voices and kind of being characters and stuff, like, since I can remember. You know, I had a cassette tape deck, recordable cassette deck or whatever, when I was a kid, and I would, you know, do my own radio shows and be all the characters, like sketch radio shows. So it's like I've been doing it, but intentionally recording it is like a whole other ball game. And one of the things I ask, I like to ask, and if most of the authors have been very generous with this, is I kind of go like, think of an actor. Like, if you were going to cast like the TV show or the movie of this, you know, who would you cast? And that way, like, I'm not going to like mimic that character, but I'm going to get a good feel of kind of their cadence and kind of just my own interpretation of it. And I just kind of go with it and hope that it sticks. And I think with Road Ghosts kind of came at a perfect time kind of in the fledgling career of this, because I had just gone through some coaching. I had a few titles under my belt. It was an earlier project that I'd accepted, but it took forever to get it done because I had other projects. I was just kind of learning how long these things would take. And I actually had gone through kind of some coaching before Road Ghost. So Road Ghost was one of the first projects. There's a book called The Brain Eaters that like after the first two chapters I had coaching, and you can actually tell like after chapter two, like, oh, his cadence is a little bit different. He's not putting on the narrator voice. So I kind of had that privilege to go through, you know, start Road Ghost as kind of my first big project after some coaching. And I really took a lot of things to heart and kind of just kind of had fun with the characters. But like I said, like the way Chrissy writes the characters, I already had that kind of personality type in my head, you know, as I was prepping it. So she basically like confirmed what I was going for. So it was, for me, it was a very seamless process, and it like that doesn't happen a lot. You know, sometimes I'm just left to my own devices, but this is a really good kind of collab. And I look at these as collaborations. You know, this is a really good kind of collaboration between author and narrator, because in my perspective, and some narrators will disagree, and you know, different, I've had many conversations about this, but especially if you're going to do partner up and do like a royalty share type project, which is what this was, where we are splitting the royalties, you know, with, you know, I don't know the breakdown of everything, but you know, but for me, it's like, I'm not just a hired gun get paid and then narrate it and move on to the next thing. Like, I'm kind of invested in this project to do well. So for me, it's like a collaboration between Seven Star Press, between Holly, between Chrissy, especially. But Chrissy wrote the characters, wrote the stories. So my job is to bring that to life, you know, as best as possible, and as you know, and honor the text and the time that it goes to write a book, because. You know, I mean, there's a craft to narrating, but I mean, like writing and creating characters and story is a completely different process that I certainly can't do. So I try to have this balance, this kind of like symbiotic balance, you know, with kind of my relationships with the authors as much as I can. Even if I'm not hired by the author, I try to reach out to the author and be like, hey, do you want to, you know, can I talk to you about the characters in the book? And it's worked out really well.
Yeah, you two definitely clicked. I mean, I could see that from the beginning. And I will mention that, you know, when you're hearing about the Road Ghosts Omnibus Edition, 19 hours, it's because this actually includes, several books in it. It's Four Till Late, Sinking Down, and Me and the Devil, and also the bonus short story Spectral Delivery, all included in this. So it's a definitely extensive project. And yeah, that obviously gives the audiobook listener a ton of value, because you get a full trilogy in this. But yeah, you got to have you have to have the material to work from in order to make magic on the performance side. And I think that's, like I said, that's where having two exceptional talents like yourself and Chrissy really, really works great. And I certainly was excited to see it hit this stage, because I've, you know, Michael and I have known Chrissy for a long time, and it's great to see it hit this this medium, or this type of media, you know, performance in audiobook. But as far as like I said, what were some of your favorite characters to perform in Road Ghosts? Because I just thought they were just so good in the performance.
Well, I loved Gonzo, because Gonzo reminds me of so many guys I hung out with in college. I connected probably most with the Brett character personally. But Gonzo was a lot of fun. And then Liz, I kind of trying to bring like the manic pixie girl aspect to Liz was like, it was fun, but it was also a challenge because I was like, am I overdoing it? You know, Chrissy, who was the actress that you recommended?
I was thinking Zooey Deschanel maybe because she is kind
yes.
of the iconic manic pixie dream girl. I was a little bit embarrassed because after the I finished writing Road Ghost, that term started to get popular, and I thought, oh no, I've written a manic pixie dream girl. But it's not all bad. I mean, that's the reason it's a trope. But she is certainly her own character. She's not doesn't lack any kind of autonomy or you know, you can't mm-hmm. replace her with an object. Like, I think that's one of the tests for that is if she could be replaced by a book or the Holy Grail or something like that. Is she still a character? Well, Lizzie was very active, saved the main character a few times. She was more than that, but she definitely had that attitude, that sort of, you know, perky, even in the bad stuff.
I loved about
I think
her.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about her too was like you wrote her as like she had like what was the she does like this like kind of minor like witchcraft Wicca type stuff, but it's like not like it's like just kind of, you know, she did a it's not like, oh, and she's doing a spell. It's like she just had these little tools in her toolbox, you know, her little virtual toolbox of like spells to do and everything, and it's just kind of glossed over, not brushing it off, but also not calling a ton of attention to it. I loved, and that was a little dash to the character that I love. Like, here's, you know, a character who does have, you know, this spiritual side. I mean, it's Road Ghost. We're dealing with, you know, supernatural stuff. But I loved that it was just kind of an everyday thing for her. Like, this was just a part of her character. So, yeah, Liz was a lot of fun. I think Gonzo and Liz probably to answer the question. Gonzo and Liz were probably my favorite, but like I said, all these characters are so rich. Even was it Caroline? She kind of pops up in the book two, and she was kind of hard because I was like, how do I, I got to try to differentiate female voices now, and guys are hard enough to differentiate. So, and I kind of figured,
also
you know,
Franny, much after the first book.
Yeah. But Caroline, she's like, well, she's a kind of matter of fact. I'm a ghost hunter, you know. I was like, well, I'll go with
you,
that.
You did really well with Caroline. Caroline's based on a real person. You at least got the right intonation and so forth. So, she's a take charge kind of person. She's definitely not Lizzie, but they're best friends because of that. They complement each other.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And Gonzo gets all the good lines, but he's also the one that drops all the F-bombs. So I was wondering how you feel about that, because I had one reviewer who I really loved dearly, that she wasn't real fond of the cuss words. So I had to think really hard about that when doing other books, whether I wanted to include them or not. But Gonzo, you can't keep him from cussing. There's just no way. It's just his,
but see,
it's
that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, I know people like that. One of my best friends, you know, every other word is an F-bomb, you know? So it's like, I know people like Gonzo. So it was so kind of truthful to his character, you know? I don't know, like, readers' morality. Readers or listeners' morality be damned. Like that's the character, and I appreciated that. So, you know, I've run into that where, you know, people will. There's another series that I do that one of the series, the main character is like a street rat. So they all are street kids. So they all have some, you know, salty language. And that was like the focus of the review was the language. And I'm like, there's so much more going on, everybody, than the language.
I think I did a count of my curse words one time because of that particular. It was the last time I was on the. On the Star Chamber, in fact, I had done a account of them, and I'll say that there are 17 F-bombs in the third book, Me and the Devil, and that was the most. That one had the most of them. I think there are, you know, like in the lower tune for the other two. And I think almost every single one of them was Gonzo. And when I wrote other books and Gonzo wasn't in it, but they magically weren't there. So it was just sometimes a character takes charge and insists. And I also wrote him into some short stories that I didn't want to have F-bombs in, so I had to like I had an interview with the character, with my own character. It was one of the blog tour things, and I didn't know really much about the site I was going to. I didn't want to offend my host, you know, having me as a guest there. So it was sort of like the Good Place. I would have him say, I can't think of what they do. They have holy shirt, they'll say, and it's, but and then the as narrator, I said, but he didn't say shirt. that kind of thing. Because I knew that there's no way Gonzo would tone it down. And so I had to filter him. So.
That's funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was Michael. Really fun to hear my characters.
I figured bring you into the conversation a little bit because you, like you were saying, right? I don't know if Sean caught this before he got on, but you've worked with two different narrators and had a number of audiobook titles. So among Daniel, myself, and you, I've only been through the process once. You might have some unique insights to talk to with both Chrissy and Sean about with the process and your experiences so I figured, yeah. You should maybe dive into this a little bit with maybe some things you want to ask about.
The thing I found funny was you know, as the writer, you know, you're alone with it, you know, it's in your head, mm-hmm. and then it's you're getting it out, you're on the page and whatnot, and you're used to saying things a certain way, and there have been a couple of things, like there was I thought something was pronounced one way, and when I heard the audiobook come back, it was pronounced a different way, and I'm like, hold it, that's not it, and then I go online, and I look it up, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm doing it wrong. I've been doing it wrong for years.
It goes both ways, believe me. I had a book where I had to re-record the word buttocks. Through the whole book, because I pronounced it buttocks. So that was
that's good.
Worth oh, that way.
You're saying you have a fine buttocks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd always pronounced it that way. I was wrong. Whoops. And my proofer didn't catch it.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, yeah.
but now you're talking about language, Chrissy. I'd hate to, you know, it's like I've had that criticism a couple of times on my stuff. I tend my characters. It's funny because people who know me read my stuff and they're like, "You don't talk like that. How?" I'm like, well, no, you got a sailor. How's he gonna talk? You know.
but it's horror, right? So you have somebody being inviscerated, but they're upset about dropping an F-bomb.
right. Yeah, I think it was the fact that they, especially in the wide game, it was teenagers, and. I'm like, you know, whoever leveled this criticism never went to high school, I guess, because, you know,
clearly.
It's like, yeah, because, you know, it's like at one point, an adult curses, and they said, you know, pardon my language, and a kid's like, well, I hear worse than that in the halls at school, and you did,
yeah.
You know, it's like you heard anything and everything, so. And one of my favorite criticisms I ever got was with my Legacy of the Gods books, which deal with a lot of mythology and whatnot. And somebody commented that they downloaded the book and then they erased it because, you know, they were shocked that there was sex in this book. They thought it was going to be a book about Greek mythology and there was sex.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and I'm
that.
Like, and I'm like, what mythology have you ever read?
I mean, that's
pretty
sanitized.
You must be watching Disney's Hercules or something.
Yeah, something. I don't know, because the nice thing is that the book sales spiked after that. So, you know, it was nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, apparently
never
they never read about Zeus before.
Yeah, yeah, right. That guy got
unreal.
Around.
But, yeah, and Sean makes a good point. I mean, it's sometimes what is considered, a bad review, or like in that case, you know, they gave you a low star rating, is actually, when people read the review, it's actually a big selling point for most people. It attracts them to get your book. So, yeah, sometimes it kind of works
right.
Works in different ways. So,
sometimes it always, you know, it amazes me when you – sometimes it's fun to read your one-star reviews because you sit there and you're like, what was this person – You know, it's like it's especially good when they comment about stuff that has been in every review that has happened before that as a positive, and then they're like shocked by something and like, did you not read any reviews before you bought this thing?
Well, that actually brings up an interesting point, and Sean and Chrissy can talk about this, but with audio reviews, it's it puts both on the hot seat a little bit because you have. The review takes into account both the writer and the story and all the aspects that would be in a book, but it also, you know, of course, is also focusing in on the performance delivery and the narrator and their style. So it's actually, the audiobook review broadens that. And sometimes, you know, I've read, you know, one where they like the narrator, didn't like the story, or they like the story, didn't like the narrator, and hopefully, you know, in most cases, it's, you know, they loved both. But the audio reviews. Yeah, talk about that a little bit because it does put both of you on the hot seat, so to speak.
Well, it's tough. Like I'll go back and forth on with a lot of the authors. When, you know, me and a few, we have good rapport, and we'll a 1-star review will come in and we'll laugh about it or be like, what? You know, go back and forth and like we kind of vent on text message or through Facebook Messenger or something. And then that's where it dies. You know what I mean? And I kind of had to learn how to do that because I've seen like authors and narrators kind of go after the people who've left the negative review. And what I've learned, like, yeah, we all want to vent, but the biggest thing I had to learn was just kind of let the negative reviews just kind of be there and be okay with it.
Yeah.
And if it was like a constructive criticism, okay, I can take that into mind. Most of them haven't. Most of them are somebody just straight up hated my voice. Like one of my first reviews was, this is the worst narrator I've ever heard in my life, you know? And I was like, it was when I was first starting, and that's a big blow to someone who's just starting, you know, who's, and it took a lot of like a big, you know, the wind out of my sails. Cause I knew there was things I needed to do to improve. I knew that I hadn't, you know, I knew where I could improve after doing it, but you can't redo an 8-hour book. It's like, you have to just kind of be done and let it go. But I had to, you know, I just had to learn how to just kind of accept them and move on. And just if there's constructive criticism, even if you don't agree with it right away, like sit with it and see if you can learn something. And I kind of, a lot of people don't like reading reviews, but in my case, I've learned to see them as a tool. They're a great marketing tool. The positive ones, even some negative ones can be fantastic marketing tools. But I just started embracing them because I can't ignore them. I know they're there. I my personality is like, I have to look, you know, I have to look at the train wreck, you know? But for me, you know, I love the reviews now and tracking them down and just seeing what people think. Cause it's all objective. I mean, my voice might not click with someone, you know, it's fine. It's my, you know, I can't do anything about it. It's my voice.
And Chrissy, what are your thoughts on the process with audiobook reviews?
Well, reviews in general, you get people who might say, well, I don't like first person books, you know, or I don't like third person books or something like that. So I've kind of learned to, I mean, most of my reviews are pretty good, but you know, once in a while you get the one that just makes you kind of when you go to bed at night, you think, did I really do that badly? And, you know, kind of torpedoes yourself. Like the, why was an audiobook we read recently that said the author really likes the word and. And I thought, how do you avoid the word and?
Yeah.
You kind of have to have an and in there somewhere. If I could write, like, you know, simple sentences that have only one thing in them so you couldn't have a conjunction.
There were so many commas.
I mean, are we avoiding
conjunctions
now? I mean, but yeah, I mean, it is interesting to see the reviews with the audio component because, well, that's out of my control. That's, you know, other than picking the narrator and working with the narrator, that's Sean. And I'm so proud of what he's done to represent what I've written. You know, I think I do feel like it's a collaborative effort that way. And so we're both out there as a, you know, as a team on those reviews. So if somebody doesn't like, I mean, somebody might just not like the writer and they might just not like the narration, but I think that one reflects on the other. If I wrote, you know, if my writing is good and it helps Sean and Sean's narration is good, it helps me. So I think it has to be a team effort in that respect. And
yeah.
You know, people
yeah.
are just not going to like things for whatever reason. So I it's not that you can blow them entirely off. You have to think about, is this a real thing? Is there, you know, I am when I'm writing, I'm looking to have too many ands now, and it's like I don't know.
That shit'll mess that stuff. That stuff will mess with you. It's like a torpedo, like a little time bomb in your head. Like all those little digs like that. Like there are too many ands, or yeah. One of my earlier ones is for a book called Hawk. Like someone said, like this narrator breathes too much. And it's like, well, I have to breathe, and it's an action scene, so I'm kind of yeah, I'm gasping. So I mean, I did have to learn breath control. There was a nugget of truth to that, but like that one comment messed with me in every other book that I did. I was like, am I breathing too much? Am I gasping too much? You know, I get excited, I gasp, you know, I can't help it. You know, everyone says there's some production stuff with, you know, that I talked to with, you know, other narrators, and now I'm hiring an editor, but for a while, when you get started, you kind of, you're editing your own stuff, and you have, it's a good thing to learn, and like, some people are like, should I remove all the breaths, and it's like, well, no, well, then you're like, then it's like having Siri read a book, like, you know, or Alexa reading a book, you know, you have to have the human element to it, like, it's not going to be perfect, there's, you know, it is a person reading you a story in a booth, but you have to, it is all about limiting the distractions, so that was like a mind torpedo from then on. It's just one stupid sentence about me breathing, you know?
Yeah, if you ever want to laugh, if you ever want a big laugh, you need to go online and find there's videos of the text-to-voice feature of Amazon of that reading 50 Shades of Grey. It is absolutely hysterical.
I had one of the old Kindle 2s. They're kind of made of, you know, they're kind of brushed aluminum and they had the keyboard on them. And, you know, remember those? But they had a read out loud feature on them. And one time I wanted an audiobook and I was taking a trip to Columbus and from Indianapolis. And that's a good, you know, 3.5 hour drive. So I had The Hobbit on my Kindle, and I had the voice read it to me, and because I plugged it into the aux port in my car, and every time the dwarves were bowing low instead of bowing low, cracked me up every time. We were bowing to Gandalf. It always has to pick a pronunciation for those you know, homographs and is that right, homograph? I think that's right. Instead of a homophone. So, yeah, it's funny that the mechanical reading it shows that, you know, it shows you can't just, and it was automatic reading has got a long way to go with working with those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
What was it you said, Sean? About breathing. I'm like I said, I'm a noob to recording my own podcast, and I'm doing it. I'm recording fiction, so I also want to edit afterward. It's not like this live interview stuff. It's, you know, it's going to be out there like an audiobook. So I was debating whether I should remove the breathing part in between. And now that what you said makes sense. I got rid of as many, you know, extraneous sounds, but because I can see what they look like on Audacity, but the breathing in there, I wondered how much I should get rid of.
Yeah, anything like if I say anything like loud, like something like that, yeah, you want to either get rid of or lessen or bring down just that area. But it's a fine, you know, it is like so many people thought like, oh, you just sit in a booth and read, you know, is that all you do? And it's like, no, it's this whole like involved thing.
Oh man.
And I had to like a steep learning curve, and it was like my first year was like I was at a dentist today, and my dentist goes, since the last time I saw you, he goes, you're kind of grinding your back teeth. Is there new stress involved in your life? And I was like, well, I picked up doing audiobooks, you know? Like, yes. There is this steep learning curve, and you have to kind of be patient with that process, you know? Out of the gate, you're not going to be this amazing narrator. And I have so much stuff I still need to learn. Luckily, I'm very happy, even with my early books. Like, even though if I'll re-listen to it as a kind of to see how far I've come, and like I'm happy with those warts and all. Like, I'm at least not embarrassed by them. And you know, there's a couple books that I probably shouldn't have narrated because they were just, you know, turds. But you know, that's kind of like the things that you learn, you know. So I'm not gonna reveal the names that I think are the turds. But if
no,
you
we
ask,
won't ask.
But you know, those are learning, but those are all like learning, you know, you learn like, well, I take on a contract, I'm going to finish it. If I agree to record a book, I'm going to do it. I'll give you a hint. If it's a book that's written by a guy starting up his own religion that involves aliens, Scientology or things like that, and a blend of Christianity and Judaism and Scientology, you know, I'm going to finish the contract, but, God, man, that was a tough book. That's crazy. But I'm going to finish the work that I started.
Nice. Oh.
But then I learned to choose wisely.
Look
it's
at it. Now you are the voice of Star. It's like, yes.
Now you are the voice of the prophet.
I thought about that. I was like, if this religion takes off, like, oh, no. Like, I'm going to be like the voice of this crazy cult.
Oh no!
Thankfully, it never took off. It never took off. I don't think it's going anywhere. Okay.
You must worship
not
the
yet.
Buttocks.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Actually, my earlier books too. So when I look back on them, I'm actually pretty happy with them still. Even though, you know, I mean, they've been through two lives. They got revived by and re-edited and done upright by Seven Star in 2013. They were my first ones from them. So, but as an omnibus, having them put together and read by Sean, I could be self-conscious because this is stuff I did, I wrote the first book in 2007. But I still forget the funny lines I have in there and laugh at my own stuff, which makes me feel weird, kind of self-conscious. But like Gonzo cracks me up, even though he's my character.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's good. But I think that is a good point about when you look at your early work and how you do grow and progress, and I think it's a good point in both the writing and narration side of things. But as far as you're talking one thing too is I noticed about you, Sean, is you really are into the professionalism of it all, and I won't quote the post you made about Facebook groups today, but you are very focused on imparting right information and good at proper, you know, like I said, good advice, and that's something near and dear to us because we run a convention that's focused on that every year. So kudos to you on that, and for being a kind of a guardian of sorts for new people getting into it. Because I think that is needed, for new folks.
Well, everyone has an opinion. So everyone has a way of doing things, you know. But it's like, is it the right way? And what it boils, I think everything it boils down to, if you want, really want to learn something, you're going to have to spend some money. And I always say, just spend some money and hire a coach. In the scheme of things, as far as your career goes, like that $100 is going to go a long way. Like I've spent $200 in coaching, maybe three, cause I did some dialect coaching for a German character. So $300. But that is like a lifetime. Like I'll carry those lessons with me the rest of my career. And those actually changed like the trajectory of my career. So any type of schooling, if you're a writer, like you want to write, well, yeah, you can write. Hire an editor, hire someone who can help kind of mold your vision, your story, because that is money well spent. I think a lot of people try to, and I've been guilty of this, where I want to learn and feel like I don't have the money. When I first started VoiceOver, I did a lot of trying to find free information, and there's a lot of it out there. But once you start realizing it, it's like, you know, is it the right information? Am I going the long way around on completing a project when there is a better way of doing it? And somebody who's been doing it, you know, 15, 20, 30 years is more valuable, that their information is more valuable than someone who's been doing it a year. People always ask me, like, they'll ask me advice, and I'm like, I'm very hesitant to give you advice because I'm still learning myself. But here's some places you can go and get that information, because that's really going to set you up. But yeah, I mean, I think when you're learning anything, trying to chintz out on it and get that information for free, you know, is really the wrong way to do it. You're going to set yourself up with a lot of bad habits. That's what I try to just always kind of champion, that, you know, learn from the professionals, not from the amateurs that, you know, and they all mean well. Everyone means well. You know, I don't think anyone's, you know, trying to hurt anyone, but I think there's better information to get. And yeah, it might cost you a couple $100. Spend that money. It's going to go a long way.
Who did you do your training with?
Jamie Mattler is the coach that I worked with. And then I can't, the dialect coach, I'm having a brain blank right now. I can see his face and it starts with a P, but I can't remember his name. But Jamie Mattler worked on me as far as like character and delivery and things like that. And she, my first session with her, I was stressed. I was sweating because she go, read this paragraph. And I read the paragraph. She goes, really? She's like, no, no. She's like, you're not doing it right. I was like, oh my gosh. Cause I'd had like, you know, three books under my belt and I'm like, I'm doing pretty decent. I got pretty decent reviews. And she really had to teach me how to back off the microphone and just tell the story. Because when I get, you know, how I dialogue with people like this, you know, she was like, that's missing from your narration. How do we bring this into the narration? So she worked with me on how to kind of just dial it back and let the story tell itself and just kind of be the delivery, you know, aspect of that. And not to put on the narrator voice, you know, like. You'll hear a lot of, you know, like I always make fun of R.C. Bray. He's a prolific narrator, really well for what he does, especially like the military science fiction, like perfect. I can never do anything like that. I can't sound that tough. But like, you know, I was trying to put on that narrator voice, but she really had to strip all that away. It was that first hour of coaching was like, I couldn't go to sleep. I was like, so stressed out. But you need that. Knock all that down.
But let me ask you this, because I mean, just I'm speaking strictly as from my filmmaking side as a director and so forth. I mean, you do an excellent job of performance with character. And I was curious, in your background, did you have any formal or informal acting experience, whether in film or theater? And if so,
yes.
Did that help?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always been a performer. But I was, you know, in high school, I was always in plays, musicals, college, I was always doing that stuff. I love that art form. I used to want to be an actor. So I've been, I guess, informally trained, but I've always had this side of me that wanted to perform. I went to, you know, I went to college for radio and communications radio, and so yeah, it's very much a big part of me, you know. So, and then you, and with audiobooks, you're self-directing yourself, you know. I have a YouTube page where I just let the camera roll while I'm working, and you know, a lot of people think it's just sitting there narrating. I'm always stopping. Should I say it this way? You know, especially with dialogue, I'm always trying to find that truth of the moment. So, you know, it takes me a little bit longer, I think, but I'm always thinking like in terms, I'm thinking in terms of a film director in a way, because I'm envisioning the book as a film. Like if this was a film, or if I was listening to this drama, how would I want to hear it? That's what I try to do. To mix results, probably, with certain things, but you know, this is what I strive to do.
I think Chrissy's books would definitely translate to a film medium very well. Just speaking just from that side of things. And I think, and when you write, Chrissy, because your dialogue, like I said earlier in the show, is so good. Do you have somebody read dialogue aloud after you're done writing to tweak it out, or does it just kind of come in the writing phase? And just want to get some of your insights on the writing of your dialogue, because it is, I mean, that is something that you are very strong at.
I mean, sometimes I'll read out loud parts out loud to see if they sound like an actual real person would say. Because you know, you get flowery in your descriptions as a writer, but you know, people don't really talk like you write. So having
right,
I guess some of the things in you know, narrating my own stuff for the new podcast, I find that sometimes it is hard to say out loud because I've, you know, got alliteration or something that makes it, you know, makes it kind of trip. You know, she sells seashells to the seashore and six fiddlesticks and all that. But I get my dialogue from a strange place, I think. I was always into role playing games, D&D, since the 70s, and putting yourself in another person's head was kind of natural to me. Even before then, like Sean said, one of my favorite things to play with as a kid was a tape recorder. I'd record TV theme songs, but I would also make little phony radio shows with my friends and my brother and my cousins and things like that. And I still have some very, very embarrassing tapes laying around here from a long, long time ago, where we made up our own radio shows. the dialogue comes from trying to put yourself in somebody else's head and trying to picture how a conversation will go. You get these mental models of people, and you know, sometimes the character takes a while to form as a real person. You know, you get that some of the characters start off as a little bit more two dimensional, and then you fill them out and you go back and fix some things and all that. So, I don't know. It's more of that mental model though than anything. I know what Gonzo would say. The downside of the mental model is, Gonzo's going to say what he's going to say when I write. I can't make him do something else, or it gets all stilted again. And, you know, loses the definition, and the characters often won't do what you want them to do. And that's kind of the curse of doing some seat of the pants writing. I'm kind of in the middle plantster. I do some planning, but the characters don't always follow this plan, so I have to revise my plan. So I'm kind of rambling myself right now. But
makes perfect sense. And I am also a kind of a middle of that spectrum. I outline to an extent, but I don't box myself in by doing too much outlining and with characters and plot. And I totally, totally get it. I did want you to comment, because that is one of your many strengths as a writer. I mean, you have many, and folks, she does a great job with dialogue, humor, suspense, and so many other aspects of writing. Definitely want to get your take on that.
One more thing about that.
Oh, sorry.
I had an English teacher.
Sure.
Two different English teachers in high school who like to have us review things. So I actually did not like writing reviews, compare and contrast. So I ended up doing it in dialogue format. I had Siskel and Ebert review books for me. And so I wrote them during the pros and cons of things, and you know, Ebert hated everything and Siskel loved everything, and so that was your compare and contrast. And they'd argue about it and my teachers loved it because they had to grade all these papers, and here's this little piece of dialogue that they get to read and it's doing what they want. But I had one of them say, clearly you've mastered the dialogue format, now please do it the way we ask you to next time. But yeah, it's my favorite way to tell a story.
And it's hard, like not.
Very
I mean,
cool.
I'm. There's so many authors, you know, that don't have the knack for that. They're good at maybe prose, or they're good at telling the story, but having that quick wit back and forth, where you actually feel like I felt like I was having three characters were having a conversation when I was recording it, and that's like for me, that's like a litmus test. You know, when I'm recording, I'm like, I know it's a good book when it just kind of just flows, where I'm in the moment and the dialogue is flowing back and forth, and it really, you know, I haven't had that. I mean, I've done 22 books now, and while they've all been, you know, great books, like something about, you know, Chrissy's dialogue, it just flowed so much better than any other book that I've narrated. And that's not a takeaway from any other author that I've worked with, but it's just you can just tell when certain authors have a certain knack for something. And I loved getting to the dialogue stuff in Road Ghosts. Always look forward to it.
Thank you for saying
that. Oh, yes. No, it's true.
You're welcome.
And I want to bring up the humor side, because like I said, you know, that's a fine line to walk, especially when you're dealing with, you know, a paranormal, supernatural, thriller elements and things like that, and you want to have good suspense in the movie world. You know, Michael and I have talked about movies like Fright Night that have kind of walked that line, you know, where they've had horror elements and humor. And I think Chrissy also does a great job. She does a great job in walking that line. Talk a little bit about, John is a performer with humor, and then Chrissy writing humor. I mean, that's a topic I definitely think is very relevant and cool for Road Ghost discussion.
Well,
I think good
humor comes from a natural place. You can always tell when humor's forced. I was listening to an audiobook because I have a day job, so I listen to listen to a lot of audiobooks as kind of just research or just enjoyment. And this one I was listening to, like, I love the narrator, but the humor was so forced, like over the top, just too much, where it was like trying too hard. But I think good humor comes from a place of truth and just a real place. And, I don't know. It's a fine balance. And, I never cracked up. I don't crack up when I'm recording. I don't think Gonzo may have made me laugh a couple of times. I'm trying to remember if there's a couple of times, but it's just I would have a smile on my face performing it, because it's such, like I said, I feel like I would text Christian and be like, I feel like I've been hanging out with these characters, you know. Like, they feel like people that I'm having a beer with, hanging out with, and it's the kind of dialogue that I would hear from friends of mine. And that's coming from that real place, I think, cements it in reality, even though we're dealing with, you know, supernatural things. The humor in reaction to the situation, though, that's always the best humor. I always look at the film Ghostbusters, the first Ghostbusters. Like,
another good one, yeah. Absolutely.
The good one. Because that one wasn't trying to be funny. It was, how would these characters react in this situation? And that's what we get in that film. The sequel and then the remake are, let's be funny. And there's a distinct difference in that type of delivery. And I think I always, when I'm talking about humor, and especially in kind of elevated humor with supernatural stuff, I always go to Ghostbusters as the characters reacting with humor to a situation, not trying to be funny. Does that make sense? That's where I feel Road Ghost kind of sits in that element of the characters are that's who they are, and they're just reacting to the world around them.
Absolutely.
Well,
And
as far as humor.
Oh, go ahead, Chrissy.
As far as humor goes, I don't think I can be funny on purpose. It's really just how the characters bounce off each other and how they react to just outrageous situations. And I'm not even that much of a horror person. I do love suspense, but the suspense builds tension and humor releases it. And watching the kind of show, suspenseful horror type shows I like are like Buffy, where it releases in there that the funny parts make the scary parts even better, and the scary parts make the funny parts even better. I like to write the things that I like to read, so, or like to consume, I suppose, in any media. So I like sort of that balance between tension and release in my writing. And that's how I deal with real life too. If things get, I'm likely the one who's making a joke at a funeral. Like, it's probably an awful thing, but it's how I deal with stress at times. Is just,
mm-hmm.
Quietly pull someone aside and crack a joke, and they'll in my family at least that's appreciated. My uncle was a joker, and so I made sure that there were plenty of jokes at his wake, as best I could. So anyway.
Nice. And as far as I do want to get, let's see, I'm looking at the clock now. We got about 13 minutes left in the show, so I wanted to definitely ask both of you, what projects do you have coming up on the horizon? And if you can talk about them, definitely give us some scoop.
Scoops. Chrissy, would you like to go first?
We love those.
Sure. Although I already kind of snuck my plugs in a little bit. Most of my focus right now has been on creatively has been on the podcast and the serial that I'm working on through the podcast, that Alien Deer podcast with the Multiverse Blues science fiction serial. Although I also have in the works with Seven Stars, got Mean Spirit, the third book in the Tipsy Fairy Tales
mm-hmm.
series that I think my editor is coming back online pretty soon and she'll be able to take a look at it.
Yes.
At her convenience. And I'm excited about that coming out to finish that trilogy. And it was a story I really wanted to tell, and it's sort of been sitting around, and I just want people to read it. So that's my main thing. I like to tell stories. So. One of these days I'm going to get back to the Transcontinental series. I started writing the third book and put it down when I had other things. Well, when I put it down to work on finishing Mean Spirit. So, and then I got this podcast, and things just have a way of getting my attention. But that's pretty much what I'm working on these days.
Awesome. I have a problem where I can't say no, so I have way too many things on my calendar. But what I'm working on right now is kind of a sci-fi western called Man True Man. It's a trilogy called The Chronicles of Tonith, and it's by a 75-year-old author by the name of Marie Collier. And those are very interesting, very different. I was expecting a little more fast-paced, but it's almost like, it's almost, the movie with Open Range, is Open Range with Robert Duvall and Kevin Costner? You know that movie? Is that what it's called?
Michael's the
movie.
I'm
thinking
buff
Open
here.
Range as the anyway, there. So it's like a Western, but it's on this planet that's like split atmospherically into two parts. So, and there's like religion, prophecies, but it's also like the story of a man who just wants to, he may be from the space, but he just wants to raise his cattle and live a nice, peaceful life. so it's a very interesting trilogy.
You are correct, by the way, Sean.
Trilogy.
It is Kevin Costner, Robert Duvall, and Annette Bening. Too, in that
yes.
So yes,
one of the
correct.
Best one of the best Western shootouts on film ever. It's a slow build up to an amazing shootout. And that's kind of how I feel at Man True Man is, because I'm about to get to the third act where it gets bonkers. But we've had to go through kind of the open range segment to build the character and the story. And now it's about to get just batshit crazy. And then the next book in the series takes place like 1,000 years later. So none of the characters even return. It's Marie's a very interesting person. I actually had lunch with her at one point, and she's been writing this stuff in her head since she was 11 years old. So she's 75 years old now. So she has another series. So it's just like this rich, just so much. And they're all connected. All of her stories are all connected. So that's what I'm working on now. In between each of the trilogy books, I'll be doing a couple things. There's a book called Revenant Sun, which is kind of a cyberpunk sci-fi book, which I'm really excited to jump into. And then I'll be doing A.S. Coomer's The Devil's Gospel. So in between these sci-fi westerns, I'll be doing a couple other things to kind of keep things up. But I have so much other stuff that I'm working on. I'm working with Encyclopocalypse Publications on bringing some 80s horror paperbacks to audiobook. We got there's an author by the name of William Scholl. I'll be doing all of his books. We're trying to get a kind of a splatter horror guy. I can't announce anything yet, but we're so close. It's one of my favorite 80s kind of creature features. So I'm working with them to kind of bring these paperbacks, 80s horror paperbacks, to audiobook. And then I got dark fantasy in the mix. I'm taking over a series, the Tales of Talon series by A.A. Warren. So just too much. It's too much. I stressed out thinking about it. And then, of course, I got the series. So it's ridiculous.
Well, you do know you have a new stalker, because when you said 80s horror, I'm sure Michael West will be stalking you now. What's going on?
There's something about 80s horror fiction, especially, that's like dangerous, not politically correct. There's just something about it that I'm starting to get a taste of it. There's some authors. There's an author by the name of Matt Serafini. An author by the name of Adam Caesar. Those guys get it. Like, they're writing stuff that I would consider, like, I would be like, did this come from the 80s? Because they've somehow channeled that dangerousness. I don't know what to call it, but unpredictability, fun. And that's, you know, back to fun, that's why I loved Road Ghost, was the injection of fun with the supernatural. Like, so there's authors
like
out there, but
like Yoda being in there.
Yeah, I love doing that. I was like, yes, I get to do Yoda voice.
Dream sequences are fun.
Yes. Yep. So,
but
yeah,
I
got a lot on my plate.
You shared
that
part with everybody.
Yeah, and I did a YouTube video of me recording that scene. So, like, I got to record this. So not often you get to do Star Wars characters. In a book. So, you know. So yeah, you can find all my stuff at go to screamingpods.com. You'll find all my stuff there. Or SeanDeRagerNarrates.com. You know, those will all get you to the right spot. But I'm having fun, man. I'm holding on to dear life with this thing. Just trying not to screw it up.
Yes, and I'm happy that you mentioned a few of the places to find you. That was actually going to be my next question. So I'll let you continue with that, and then Chrissy can give her contacts as well. Because I follow you on Twitter as well. It's Sean Narrates, I believe. So you do have other spots to find you.
Yeah, Sean Narrates on Twitter is probably the best. You'll get a feel for what I do. You'll get, you know, it's almost like my internal monologue just kind of coming out onto Twitter. So. For good, better or for worse, Sean Narrates on Twitter. And then on Facebook, if you search up Sean DeRager Narrates, right, you may even search up Sean Narrates. But if you go to screamingpods.com, it's kind of my hub for everything. That's probably the best place. You'll have the links to everything, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. see what I'm doing. I do have a promo page, which there we have some promo codes. After I give them all away to people that I like, you know, for reviews, I kind of put the leftovers there. So there might be some things on there you can get for free if you go to go over there. So you might be able to find some of my stuff. And the good thing about that is the narrators and authors and publishers, they all get a royalty from that promo. So that's kind of a nice little thing.
That
so
is
you're still
cool.
supporting us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome about audiobooks. But yeah, I know Holly's always scrambling to get extra codes for you because you're so proactive, and it's fantastic because yeah, you definitely did do a great job of reaching out on that. But we'll go over to Chrissy now, and Chrissy, let folks know how they can find you online.
Okay, well I publish as E. Chris Garrison, so you can find me as E. Chris Garrison on Facebook. And on Twitter, I'm EC Garrison. And you can find all the stuff at my website. It's a blog website called sillyhatbooks.com. And there's an about, there's a tab for called About that has my contact information on it. But I usually have whatever I'm working on as a post on the blog. And, or else if you want to find me, I'm on Amazon as E. Chris Garrison. I'm on the 7-star press page as E. Chris Garrison. I even have a game that I put out on itch.io. It's just a one-page role-playing game called Saving Things, Hunting People. Oh, no, that's not right. Saving People, Hunting Things, patterned after a Supernatural TV show. But it's just a hack of the Lasers and Feelings game. There's a million of those out there. But it's a fun little game I put out. But and then, of course, there's the Alien Deer podcast, which there's a link on my sillyhatbooks.com site as well for that.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to getting some time so I can check out your Alien Beer podcast because I know, definitely know it'll be awesome. And we're coming up on 3 minutes in the show. So, Michael and Daniel, is there anything you wanted to get in before we reach the end of the episode?
Are we going to run over tonight or do they have time for that?
Well, we might. You guys can hang around if you'll. If Michael, Daniel, if you are able to hang around for a couple more minutes, and Chrissy and Sean can, then we should be good. Yeah. But yeah, we definitely, for the benefit of the live listeners, I want to get in anything we can, though.
Oh, I have a podcast too. I forgot to mention.
good.
Audiobooks from Hell. Search up Audiobooks from Hell. I got a few episodes there, and. If you want a little very niche podcast, but check that out.
Is that where we can hear some of your podcast or hear some of your readings?
No, I'm actually, I talk to authors. Chrissy, we need to get on, arrange a time to get on there, but I'll talk to authors and other narrators about their work and genre specific. So kind of horror, sci-fi, fantasy, those kind of genres. And I just started it up as kind of just, I'm already talking to people, so I might as well record like an hour of those conversations.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And Michael, is there anything else you would like to cover?
I just, my hat goes off to the narrators, just, you know, being able to do, you know, find the characters, do all the voices, and just really bring the prose to life. It's just it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Most definitely. Yeah, I hope this episode has given folks a bit of an appreciation for the process and the development of audiobooks. Because Sean, I had a chuckle earlier because. When Sean mentioned that, you just sit around and just read, you know, on microphone. I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, that's, I know that you have to deal with that. But, yeah, there's so much that goes into it and you know, definitely editing elements that drive you nuts at times. And, yeah, it's not easy. And just like writing a novel is not easy. I mean, yeah, narrating an audiobook is also detail-oriented and involves a lot that people don't see or understand. So I'm glad that, you know, we got a chance to talk about that tonight. And, of course, a great team with you and Chrissy. I mean, wow. I mean, yeah, this is a definite example of a great piece of work, both from a narration and writing standpoint. So that's awesome.
Thank you. It means a lot. Thank you.
But yes, absolutely. And yes, is there anything else? Yeah, we're kind of crossing over a little bit in our bonus territory. So, but is there anything that you would like to cover that we may not have covered so far on the show, Chrissy or Shawnee, or both? Would you like? Is there anything that we haven't covered yet?
I think I'm good.
I'm drawing a blank. All right. I'm sure I'll think of something later than that.
Well, yeah, just hope we fulfilled your Star Chamber show experience here, and definitely want to have both of you back for sure. And definitely great things ahead for both Chrissy and Sean, and loved having you both in the show. Chrissy, yeah, just always a pleasure. And of course, we go back many years now, and time flies. Yeah, cause I think back to first meeting you and everything, and it's amazing how time goes sometimes. But I'm glad that this night we're sharing a great project and getting to talk about some new horizons and definitely look at Pipsy Fairy Tale series if you haven't checked that out yet. It's about to like Chrissy said, the third installment is coming out, but It's just brilliant. So yeah, look ahead to that, readers. And Transcontinental Tales from Chrissy are fabulous. And yeah, so definitely Chrissy is author to watch. And thank you very much for being on the show tonight. And Sean, just a pleasure talking with you. And I know Holly's jealous that this was the night that she's not on, because I know she just loves you to death. So just absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, every day I hear praise about you constantly here, so she's definitely loved working with
Holly,
you. But
stop
thank
it.
You, and I will stop rambling, but I will I'm going to sign off and let you say your final comments, and then Michael and Daniel take us out. Thank you very much.
Just all I'm going to say is it's been really great getting to work with Sean, and that I'm going to thank him again for doing such a great job with my characters. It was just magical to hear them become real people jumping off the page and talking to me.
Yeah, thank you for writing them. It wouldn't have been easy for me to do without the great, the great work you did. So, yeah, mutual respect all around. Awesome stuff.
Respect.
Awesome. All right, Michael, take us out, and Daniel, finish it out.
All right, good night, everybody.
And until we meet next week, listen, live, love, and be creative. See you next week.